And so God tells us that if our enemy needs something, that if we have it to give, we should give it to them and let God deal with the payback. And I'll tell you something, God has a way of paying people back in such a way that when he's done with them, you almost want to feel sorry for that person.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is anger.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking about anger today, and we're going to be talking about the difference between sinful anger and righteous anger. And before we get started, I want to mention that today I had the blessed opportunity to speak to a man and witness to him about Jesus Christ. This man was about 56 years old, and he had never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a relationship. He never said the Lord's Prayer. And what had happened is, and this is all a miracle, this is a testament of how God can work in our lives if we just obey. When I was running my errands today, I had a nudge from the Holy Spirit to go to a Christian bookstore. And I tried to ignore the nudge because I really didn't feel like I needed to go. I couldn't think of anything there that I needed or wanted. But I felt God tugging at me. So I went there, and it so happens that I did find some very good bargains there. Long story short, I had left my lights on because it was a rainy day today, and I forgot that my lights were on. When I came out, my car wouldn't start. My battery had died. And there was a homeless man out there, and he approached me, and he started talking with me. At first, I didn't have much time to talk to him because I needed to call somebody so that I could get a jump so I could get my battery going. And I found out that I couldn't get a hold of anybody. My phone wasn't working properly, except for one person. And that person was a minister of the Lord. And he showed up, and we both ended up witnessing to this homeless man. And we ended up leading him to the Lord. The amazing thing is that if my battery hadn't ran down, if that problem hadn't occurred, I would not have been able to talk to that man while I was waiting for the person to show up to help me with my vehicle. God set everything up. Now, sometimes when things don't work out for us, we can get angry about them. And I could have chosen to have gotten angry about my car not starting. I could have chosen that. And if I would have chosen that, my heart would have been hardened. And I would not have had the opportunity nor the grace to be able to witness to this man. And so I thank God that I had the problem with the car because it gave me an opportunity to lead someone to the kingdom of God. And so whenever we find ourselves in situations that displeases us, that has the potential to make us angry, whether at ourselves or at the situation or at people who caused it, we need to ask, God, what are you doing in this situation? And I'll tell you, when I discovered that my car wasn't starting and I couldn't get a hold of anybody, my phone was malfunctioning. It wouldn't allow me to get a hold of anybody but a fellow minister. I began to ask God, all right, Lord, what are you doing in this situation? Obviously, your hand is in it. I could feel it. I just knew that God was setting something up. And of course, when I went outside to wait for my friend, I was approached by this homeless man. And he just started having a conversation with me, and I started telling him about Jesus Christ. And then my friend showed up, and he started speaking about Jesus, and he was led to the Lord. And so, you see, we have to look at every circumstance as children of God, that God has placed us in a situation or has allowed us to get into a situation that is going to work out for good. because he always works things out for good for those who are called and who love him. And so I had the opportunity to be a blessing to this man, and I had an opportunity to choose between anger and obedience. Let's get started with our study today on anger. There are several causes as to why people get angry. One of them is that a person gets the idea in their heart that when somebody wrongs them, they need to take revenge or get even with the person or persons that have caused them their pain. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21 addresses this. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This verse is telling us that as children of God, we don't have to worry about fighting our own battles or taking revenge or getting even with anybody, because God knows exactly how to address the people in our lives who have wronged us. On the contrary, we should be good to the people who are evil towards us. Now, you might think that that doesn't make sense. Why would you want to empower your enemy over you? Because in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that coals are going to fall out of the sky and cover this person and cause bodily harm to them. No, of course, it doesn't mean that. But it means that this person is going to get the chance to see that they didn't really get over on you because you haven't lost who you are in Christ. See, when somebody does something wrong to you, the true defeat is when you become something less than what God has in store for you. So you can't let that happen to you. You cannot lose your position with Jesus Christ. You have to remain true to the love of God. And so God tells us that if our enemy needs something, that if we have it to give, we should give it to them. And if we don't have it to give, then we should at least try to find a way to get it for them and let God deal with the payback. And I'll tell you something, God has a way of paying people back in such a way that when he's done with them, you almost want to feel sorry for that person. Really, I say this from experience, and I have found myself praying even harder for my enemies because I see that the wrath of God is upon them for the trespass that they have done against me. And I think that's a good reason to pray for the people who do things that are wrong for you, because God doesn't like it when his children are being attacked or hurt by somebody else. And when he avenges us, he has a way of knowing exactly where to get that person, where it really teaches them a lesson. And so we should pray for mercy for those people, because we're God's children and he is going to protect us. Now, another reason why a person can get angry is because of pride. You know, pride is an ugly emotion. It fills a person up with themselves. And in Proverbs 13:10, we read, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. A fool will ignore the advice of somebody who they know understands the situation. Pride will stop a person from listening to common sense. Pride will get a person to open their mouths when their mouths shouldn't be talking in a certain situation. Pride will get a person to respond to an answer, a harsh answer, if you will, and start fights. No, it's easier in life to walk away from somebody or something that is challenging your pride. It really is. Another reason why people get angry is because of somebody with a quick temper, somebody who cannot control their temper. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. So when a person has a quick temper, you ever meet somebody that you just couldn't talk to? Every time you tried to say anything to them, they took everything wrong. You do one offense against them. You didn't mean to do it, but they just explode all over you. They're unreasonable. Proverbs 15:18 also talks about a hot-tempered person. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. See, if you can just be patient and think about the situation, you can calm the storm before it comes up and overtakes you. But if you have a hot temper, you might explode and blow everything out of proportion. You may speak out of turn. You may not know the whole situation and start talking about stuff you really don't know because you assume something. So you have to slow down, be patient, get the whole story, get your thoughts about you, get your temper down, get your emotions down. You don't want to be this kind of person that just flies off the handle every time you hear or think something that you don't like. You want to stop and take a breath. Stop and take a breath. You just want to understand the situation that's going on before you react to it. Again, Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up dissension and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. You know, once you get upset and you can't control your temper, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble and the people around you as well. And that's why it says a hot-tempered one commits many sins. You don't want to act out of anger, because when you act out of anger, you're sinning. Proverbs 27:4, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? You know, when we get angry at somebody, we can be very cruel to that person. We can say very harsh words. And when somebody becomes jealous of another person, that's not really anger. But did you know that anger could lead to jealousy, and jealousy could lead to anger? You know, those are two negative emotions that are very dangerous. And when you combine those two, oh my gosh, you can have a very cruel and overwhelming fury that comes up against another person's life. And not only that, but it hurts the person who is feeling this anger and jealousy. We don't need these emotions. They're useless to us when they are displayed in this manner. Now, of course, there is a righteous anger. When Jesus saw the people selling the animals in the temple, he had a righteous anger about him, and he dealt out punishment accordingly. But that's why God says that he will be the avenger. He will do the repaying, because God knows what needs to be done in order to deal with somebody's predicament. So if you've been hurt or trespassed against, God will repay, and he will do it exactly the way it needs to be done, and it will be done effectively. And guess what? You'll be spared the painful emotions that come with anger that leads to sin, and you'll be spared the painful consequences that come with anger that leads to sin. You know, another thing that leads to anger is that children growing up, they witness it from their fathers. I know of somebody right now who is suffering for his father's anger. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now listen to this. As fathers, we have to be very careful in front of our kids that we don't display sinful anger in front of them, because we'll make them bitter, and we will discourage them in life, and they will start acting out just like we did in front of them when we were wrong with our anger. So as a father, we have to let our children witness that we are in control of our anger. Now, it's okay to be angry. I'm not telling anybody out there that feeling angry is wrong, because it's not. But being angry and acting on it in a foolish way, or in a way that does not go along with God's word, is sinful, and it's very damaging as well. And being angry for no reason at all, I mean, you have to have a very good reason before you even get angry, because if you don't, then you could become one of these hot-tempered people that just get mad over anything. So you have to make sure that you are patient first, so that you don't get frustrated and act out on it. Colossians 3:8 tells us, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So we have to come to God in prayer, and through his Holy Spirit, have him change what we have inside of us. So if you notice that you have an anger issue, Come to God with it. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do its work inside of you. Surrender to the Lord and pray diligently that God will take that anger from you. And He will. He will do that. It may not happen instantly, but He will begin a work in you on that problem. Now, I've seen some people that have come to God and they've actually did some prayer and the anger was lifted right off of them. And I've seen other people that God worked over a period of time to get rid of that anger. I don't know how God is going to work in your life if you have anger issues, but I do know that if you ask God, He will do so. And again, we can't get rid of any of the bad stuff that's inside of us. We can't do it on our own. We have to come to God in prayer, and we have to have His Holy Spirit to do that. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 reads, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Now, this is very important. Have you ever gone to bed mad, and all you can do is think about the thing that made you mad, and then you start having arguments in your mind with the people that made you mad? And you're going through this all night long, and you're thinking, I should have told them this. And when they said this to me, I should have said that. And when they did this, I should have done that. Oh, and I got an idea of what I'm going to do to this person. And then you come up with all these crazy ideas of what you can do to this person. Now, that is the wrong way to deal with anger. When somebody hurts you, when somebody does a trespass against you, you should immediately go to God and start asking God to forgive that person. And if you're having trouble to forgive that person, then you should ask God for understanding in the situation. Ask God what part you had in it, if any, and ask God wisdom in the situation. And then you can ask God to give you the grace to forgive that person. That's right. With the Holy Spirit's power, you can forgive that person, and you can ask God to help you release that anger. And you should pray until you feel the Holy Spirit working in your heart, because sometimes your heart can be hard coming to God. You're angry. You're upset. You're hurt. So sometimes you have to keep praying until you get that into your heart, until you mean it from your heart. And as your heart starts to loosen up and starts to soften and starts desiring the things of God, the Holy Spirit, as you surrender, can start to work. And so Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." So if you're having trouble forgiving somebody, then what you need to do is remember that God forgave you through Christ. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you could have forgiveness. Now, if you were forgiven all of your trespasses, then you should be forgiving the trespasses done against you. One way to stay away from bitterness and rage and anger is to practice being kind and compassionate to one another. That's why this verse addresses that. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another. If you want to avoid being angry and doing malice against others, then you should practice the opposite of what you don't want to be. If you don't want to be angry, if you don't want to be a person that's hard to get along with, then be the opposite. Be a kind and compassionate person. Display love to one another. And then the natural side effect, as you practice at the opposite of what you want to be, you'll start to become the opposite of what you want to be. Now, one of the ways that we can avoid finding ourselves in a predicament where anger swells up is that we can actually listen a little better and talk a little less. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So what James is saying here is that if we can learn to be a little more quieter and a little more attentive, we may not come into a situation where we are misunderstanding the words of somebody else. Plus, as we listen, we can understand more of the other person's communication towards us. And so he says, we should be slow to become angry. And again, if a person is easily set off by somebody else's words, that person who has that anger problem should make it a practice to listen better. I know people that don't listen to people. And when they're done hearing what the person says, sometimes before the person's even done speaking, the person with the listening problem and the quick temper usually comes up and interrupts and says something derogatory, believing that the person speaking to them was being mean towards them. So sometimes we can get angry just because we misunderstand something. But we would understand more if we would listen and talk less. And again, that leads, and for many people, that by itself leads to being slow to anger. If you find yourself having to be angry and you have a righteous cause for it, you should take God as an example. And that is in Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. God may get angry with us, but he only does it to the point where it needs to continue, and then his favor comes back upon us. You know, it's okay to have the emotion of anger. Again, it's just what you do with it. But still, it says here that God's favor upon us lasts a lifetime. So even if you get mad at your enemies, you should still give them the favor of prayer, compassion, and kindness. Yes, to your enemies. You have to be good to your enemies. And so that's how God handles anger. He doesn't allow it to consume him. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, we read, "They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them." Now, this is talking about the Hebrews as they were wandering around in the desert. They turned on God, and God could have done all kinds of things to them out of his anger. But this verse clearly says that God is a forgiving God, and he's gracious and compassionate. God still took care of the Hebrews in the desert, even though they became stiff-necked, and they forgot all the miracles that he did for them. Now see, if these offenses were to happen to a human being, in their human emotions might be thinking, "I'm not going to do anything else for this person. I'm just going to give up." But see, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. We don't have to give up on people because God is forgiving, because God is gracious, because God is compassionate. We too have the same traits, and we too have the ability to be forgiving, to be gracious, to be compassionate, and to be slow to anger. We have the power inside of us. And then, above all, God and us, we have the capacity to be abounding in love through the Holy Spirit. And we can call on this power anytime we want to through prayer. Come to God and ask him to change you from the inside out. If you have a problem with anger, ask him, "Take it away, Father." If you have a problem with forgiving, ask him to be a more forgiving person. Ask him for graciousness, compassion. Ask him for love, and watch God work in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. Anger can destroy your life. Matthew 5:22, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. You have to understand that a person's anger can consume them, and it can bring them down to the depths of hell itself. So when we're tempted to be angry, we have to remember what is taught in the Word. We have to be careful that even though somebody says something mean to us, we don't have to say it back to them. Proverbs 5, verse 1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Sometimes a person may say something to someone, and that person just wants to say something mean back. But that only stirs up wrath. It only causes more problems. You don't have to give tit for tat. You don't have to do that. Leave it to God. Leave it to God to take his vengeance on those people. Let God handle them. And if you know somebody who has a hot temper, you need to avoid them. Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Anger can be a trap to you, even if it's not you that feels the anger. You could be around somebody who blows up all the time, who gets angry, who says harsh words. Have you ever met somebody at work or even at church that always has something angry to say about someone else or something else? You hang around that person long enough, and you will start to learn his or her ways. And guess what? You will be ensnared. You will be entrapped in that sin. You will have a bondage placed on your life because of what you associated yourself with. Anger destroys. Anger rips apart. And if you have an anger problem, then I ask you right now to bring it to God. And in some cases, people, they need help. They need counseling. And so if you're one of those people that's listening right now and you want that kind of help, then I would ask you to pray about it and ask the Lord to lead you to the right counseling. And if you're listening right now and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, well, that's the first step to dealing with any issue in your life. And so I would like to ask you right now to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins, and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you to come in, wash, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God, and God will help you with all of your issues, whether it be anger, frustration, hurt, pain, it doesn't matter what. Bring it to God in prayer. You now have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God Himself is inside of you, and He will guide you. Submit to it today. Ask God in prayer to guide you, and He will.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to ask everyone out there listening that you keep us in your prayers. We need them. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.